Okay, so when we turn on the news, you go into shul, we hear about a lot of tragedies, unfortunately. Public tragedies, things that go on in Eretz Yisrael, personal ones, there's a lot of orphans, parents that lose children, marriage issues, financial issues. So how do we respond, or how should we respond in these troubled times? So the Medrash Rabbah tells us, on the pasuk, it says, "Davar Acher Be'esa Hi Lamar Mahu Lamar." What's the Lamar in this pasuk? Amar Bezaria Lamar Lidoros. So tell to the generation, Shiyu Mispalim B'Shas Tzara, that they should daven at a moment of Tzara. Sherei Moshe, because by Moshe Rabbeinu, Afal Pishenemol, even though it's Hashem said to him, Lo Savar As a Yarden Azeh, you're not going to cross over the Yarden. Hischol Mischanin, he started to daven. And there are different ways this Medrash is brought. Some say it's the opposite, but at least the Medrash here seems to say that he was first told, you're not going to be going, and then he started to daven. So we see from this Medrash that at a moment of Tzara, we should turn to Tefillah. The Rambam also tells us, and I'm not going to read the entire three Sifim, but he says, Mitzvah Seim in HaTorah, Lizok, L'Hariyah, B'chatzotras are called Tzara. There's a Mitzvah Seim in HaTorah, to blow the shofar on every Tzara, Shetovei El Tzibur, that comes on the Tzibur. And basically included in that is obviously tefillah, and then it's if Gimli says avam lo yizakuv lo yuriu, if a person doesn't you know call out, doesn't you know blow the shofar el yomru davizem minika olam iralanu, it's just you know it's natural, it's what goes on, it's an earthquake, it's a hurricane, it's just natural stuff. Vitzarazu nikran nikris, and it's just you know it's something that goes on. Harezu derech achzarius, this is considered to be an achzar. And therefore, the Rambam is saying, again, one has to reach out. It's a mitzvah, the same in the Torah, to reach out for tefillah. And even the Ramban, who holds davening on a daily basis, is only the Rabbanon, holds that tefillah in an eis sar is midaraisa. And I would go that far to say that if the Ramban lived today, he would garner every tefillah that we say as a tefillah eis sar, and therefore he would agree that every tefillah we do today would be a tefillah midaraisa. The Sefer Ikrim adds that tefillah by calling out an Eis Sarah, it also confirms our emunah, our belief that Hashem's the only one who can help us. And the Sefer Chinuch, again, similar to like the Rambam says, but he says it with the Ramban really a little bit, so therefore I brought it also. He says, Va'over al zeh, amad yom v'layah b'lo tefillah kal. He says, Bitala say zeh kedas Rambam. So that's just finishing first line. Then he says, Amishat sarlo. Someone who has a tzara and does not call out to Hashem to save him. You're mevatel the assay, even according to the Ramban. So here he brings it inside that it's the Ramban will agree. His onish is really great. The reason being, because it's as if you're removing yourself from Hashem's help by saying, you know, I don't have to turn to you because you know, it's natural. It's something that's not, you know, it's what it is. So we remove ourselves from where Hashem's looking out for us, and therefore it's a great aver. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, and it's not directly in the Gemara, it's a little the Gemara in Rashi, which is why I don't have the Mar Malkum, because I couldn't pinpoint it exactly, but it tells us that Torah is the key to Olam Haba. Tefillah is the key to Olam Hazeh. And just as learning Torah will bring one to that internal happiness in Olam Haba, tefillah is what is going to bring us to all the necessities of Olam Hazeh. And so the Kakon writes that every time there's a problem that we have, again, whether it's a national problem, a personal problem, it's structured in a way that tefillah can overcome it. And we just have to realize, Rabbi Ruchel Lavovitz says that we have to realize that the misfortune has to be recognized as this is a necessary component in Hashem's delivery system. This is how we're going to get what we need. Now, it may start as something that looks to us as something bad. It looks to us as something that's harsh. But this is how Hashem is one of the tools in getting it to us, because he's bringing it to rouse us to daven. And the Nefesh HaChaim brings on the pasuk of Agid L'Adam Masecho, that literally translates as he recounts to a person what were his deeds. So he explains that this is going to be a revelation Olam Haba. A person's going to come up after 120, and Hashem's going to say, you see this entire warehouse, you know, storehouse of stuff? This was all waiting for you. It had your name on it. You had the key to it. This was for you. And had you only davened and davened properly, you would have all got that in the world in Olam Hazeh. And Rav Palm explains that what this Nevi Shechaim is telling us is that if a person davens with that heartfelt concentration, then the sick person would have been healed, the childless couple would have been, answered, the person for a shidduch would find one, and that, we have to sometimes really dig down deep inside us to really feel that this is my one source. And to the point that tefillah has the ability even to change one's mazel, to the point that if a person, there's a gzeira, that something's supposed to happen, tefillah can change that. And there's a story brought with a bunim of Peshesh, I can't get that city straight from Europe, who in the beginning of his life was a successful businessman, and later in life he became a Rebbe. And he one time went to the Chosev Lublin, he wanted to get a bracha from him. And the Chosev, however, was not able to give him what he wanted. Instead he told him, you should just know that you have financial disaster in your future this coming year. You're going to lose it all. And the year went on, and a year later he comes back, and the Chosev sees that it didn't happen. And obviously the Chosev, when he's saying it, he sees what's going on. And he says to him, what did you do that you didn't lose your money like you were supposed to? He says, I cried to Hashem the entire year. And the Chosev said that, what I saw was without your tears and without your tefillos. And therefore, when you got that connection to Hashem, that changed your mazel, and therefore was no longer a gzeira for you. And we have to imagine a situation where if a person is in a desperate mode and he knows that if he knocks on so-and-so's door, this is going to be the answer to all his sorrows, he's going to call him, he's going to write him, he's going to bang that door down, he's going to keep coming after him until he gets that help. And the reason why he's going to be driven like that is because this is my only answer. And the Medrash tells us that by Chana and Elkanah, they were married for 19 years. And for all those years, you can imagine Chana davened. It wasn't like, for 19 years, she just sat and said, okay, I have no children, Penina has 10 of them, it's fine. But she davened. But it was only at the moment that Elkanah said to her, that why do you cry, Chana? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? When she heard that, she said, you know what? Elkanah's given up. It's only, he's given up. It's like, okay, this is life. Chana just won't have children. And at that moment, she poured out her heart saying, you know what, Hashem? There's no one else to hope for now other than you. And that tefillah was the tefillah that eventually brought Shmuel HaNavi. And this is just one of many incidents that the Torah brings, where people that had the right kavanas and the right belief were able to bang down the door of Shemayim to get their tefillahs responded to. Dayan Dunner told over a story, I believe it was at one of the Siyam Hashases. He says, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz once was at Kever Rachel, on the yard side of Rachel Imenu. And he heard a woman through the mechitza, and he heard a drop of the of her tefillah. And what he heard was, he heard her say, Mama Rachel, you know what it means not to have children. You know the hardship of living years without children. Can't you help me? And that was all he heard. And he sent the Talmud to that woman's home with the message saying that your tefillahs are going to be accepted, you're going to have a boy, and I would like to be the tzaddik. And sure enough, she had that boy, and he was the tzaddik. And Dayan Dunner explains, he says, it's not because she was such a great lady that therefore Hashem listened to those tefillahs, but it was because she felt that the only source she had was to pour out her heart at that moment, and therefore that's what made the difference. And David HaMelech, when he says, Karov Hashem, l'chol karov, l'chol shekruva emes, that Hashem's close to those who call upon Him, but it's only to those that call upon Him sincerely, that it has to be real. So a tefillah that's imbued with that respect, with that dini, with that sincerity, is a tefillah that has power. And it's a tefillah that Hashem therefore will answer. And the Gemara in in Yevamos tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misavel Tzadikim Shal... The exact quote is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misavel Tilosin Shal Tzadikim. Hashem desires the tefillahs of the tzaddikim, of the righteous. And Rav Palm explains that it's not the way Pashup Shat we think, okay, tzaddikim, it means Avraham, it means Yitzchak, it means the Gedolim. But a sincere, dignified tefillah is considered a tefillah of the righteous. And if we put our hearts and we put our tears, we put our emotion into the davening, then that sincerity will turn that ordinary, regular person's tefillah into a tefillah of greatness. And sincerity is something that anyone can develop. It's not something that, again, is only limited to a few people. It's something You know, it's a quality anyone can get. And it comes naturally from realizing and recognizing that Hashem's the only source that can help us. And if we therefore believe that and feel it, and you know, and I know for myself, there are times that I, you know, I'll daven for parnasa and I'll say, oh, you know, Hashem, help me. But you know, the minute davening ends, okay, now what am I doing for work to do this today? And what do I, you know, it's sort of sometimes we may fool ourselves that we're really davening, but if we really do it be'emes, as David HaMelech said, that and know that this is it, then that sincerity will come and we will get those tefillos to be answered. And Reb Ruchel Lvovitz, again, he used to say that sincere tefillah is the only activity that can generate tremendous profit and yet does not consume any free time, because we daven anyway. So if you're putting in that time anyway, all you have to do is make it sincere, and then it's, you know, you get that profit. So it's not, he's saying you don't even need anything else. And we have to remember that it's not only in a moment of crisis that we need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but everything, every mundane, every normal, ordinary action in life, we need Hashem to help us. And we forget that. Sometimes we say, oh, you know what? It's, you know, it's the big tzara. We know someone who's sick. We know someone who needs parnasa, a shidduch, a child, things going on in Eretz Yisrael. You know, that's when I have to pour out my heart to Hashem. But you know what? As far as, you know, my kids' day, my wife's day, my day, work, learning, that whatever it might be, the simple things, you know, we say, okay, you know, we'll take care of that. You know, whether it's, you know, the story with the, you need a parking spot, you know, whatever it might be, all these little things are all things that, again, we need to remember that even, you know, Hashem, you know, is needed for that. And when I actually was preparing this, it was winter break, so the example I had written was just to have good weather during vacation. You know, it's something we have to ask Hashem and not just say, oh, okay, you know, we'll rely on what's going on. And obviously, one of the biggest areas that tefillah is needed is for, you know, our children. And Rav Pam used to say that the two ingredients in raising children are tefillah and positive role models. The Chofetz Chaim would say success with children is 100% based on Hashem's help. The Chassam Sofer was once asked, he said, you know, what was the secret that you raised the Chassam Sofer? How'd you accomplish that? And he replied, he said, do you know how many tears went into davening for him? It was davening. It wasn't, you know, that was what it was. It was the tears. It was the feeling. Someone once also came to the stipler for a bracha and to bring up his children properly. And the stipler replied, you have to daven. He says, until this day, I daven for my son's success. And when the story took place, Reb Chaim Kanievsky was 52. So, you see, it's not little children only. It's not dating children. It's not, you know, but it's forever. If we want our children to be successful, we always have to be davening. And Rav Matisyo Solomon says, and this is, you know, a pretty sharp line, that one who does not daven for his children is considered an achzar, and he's cruel to his own children. And therefore, we have to remember that, you know, again, every moment, if we want good children, if we want anything that we need, we have to turn to Hashem in order to get that. And if we therefore daven sincerely for everything in our lives, we can unleash that koach hatfila and get all that's waiting for us, and not be the person who comes up to the next world and sees that storehouse of all the good that was waiting for us and everything that was there that we did not end up getting. This week I did remember to have the story, so we'll close with the story and we'll make up the homeworks that we missed. So about 250 years ago in the city of Ramsoba, there was a Sfardi Mekubal named Rav Mordechai Leviton. And he was already in his older age, and he had been very careful to always daven with a minyan three times a day. And as he grew older, it started to be more difficult with the weather, with all that, to be able to get out to go to shul. So he used to have people come to him for a minyan. And there was one day where this terrible storm was raging, and mincha was getting close, and his Talmud named Elio and a few people showed up, but it wasn't looking too good. So he asked Elio to go out there and go knock on some doors. You know, we need a minyan. And he went, came back drenched, said, you know, people don't want to come out. So he reached under his bed with Mordechai, and he pulled out a bag full of money. And Elio was a little surprised because it was a dilapidated house. Like, here's money you could use to make yourself a little more comfortable. And he said, Rav Mordechai said, this money I've been saving because I wanted someone to learn Mishnayos after I, you know, would pass away. I wanted, you know, to pay someone to learn for me. But instead, I want you to go around and tell people that if they come, we'll pay them for the minyan. And realizing what the minyan meant, I guess gave Elio a little more of a push, gave the people a response, you know, and sure enough, they had a minion. And at the end of the minion, obviously he offered out, you know, money to anyone who wanted, and no one touched it because just realizing what a minion, what a davening, what it means to someone was special enough. And, you know, if we just, you know, learn from that story, you know, what it means, A, to daven with a minion, and B, what tefillah, you know, means, you know, then we'll unleash that koach tefillah. So the first, the homework again is, again, something that, again, as a chavura, we're just trying is, you know, again, whether anything in the vod changes you, but at least maybe if we work on a specific issue as a group, it helps the davening. So we had taken so far the Kaddish after Aleinu, which took care of the end of Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. We did the Kaddish after Rabbi Shmuel, which is the beginning of Shachris. And because there's a mitzvah saseh involved, so I wanted to take on last week, and we'll do both for this week also, for Kriya Shema, both Shachris and at Maariv. And Maariv means in the Zman, so if you daven Maariv early, you have to repeat it with this Kavana, that when you go into Kriya Shema, that you're doing a mitzvah saseh of saying Shema two times a day. Because without that, b'di'evit, there is who to rely on. There's a chayodam that you're still yotze, but without that, you know, it's not, you're certainly not yotze to the level, and with doing the Shema anyway. So the homework, you know, for the last week, which we forgot, and this week, is the two Kriya Shemas, to try to have that momentary pause as you go into it, that I'm doing this with the kavana of accomplishing the mitzvah saseh.